Michigan and seven other states made a pact in 2005 to protect the Great Lakes from a variety of threats, both natural and human-made. Ontario and Quebec joined them in forming the Great Lakes St. Lawrence River Basin Water Resources Agreement. President George W. Bush signed provisions of the agreement into law in 2008. 15 years later, members of the compact reflect on what they've accomplished and what they still need to do. Mark Smith is the policy director for the National Wildlife Federation's Great Lakes Regional Center. He says the biggest threat came from hotter and drier places that wanted to siphon fresh water away from our region.
Whether it was to the southwest that was thirsty or to countries like China that were in desperate need of fresh water. Fortunately for us living here in the Great Lakes, we have a lot of fresh water. So that was the main impetus to getting all the governors and premiers together to form a regime that would protect the Great Lakes now into the future.
How successful has that agreement been in mitigating those threats?
Really good. very good. I mean, if you think of it this way, for the past 15 years, the Great Lakes Compact has served as a beacon to the world of how to manage our freshwater resources. We have put in protections that would allow the continued use for agriculture, for businesses, for industry, while simultaneously protecting our drinking water, protecting the fishery, and our quality of life here. So we really struck a balance that has allowed the Great Lakes to continue to thrive and utilize water as a driver for not only our economic well-being, but also our ecological well-being.
You know, when you have eight state governments, two provincial governments, and two federal governments involved, you might expect some red tape to get in the way. How difficult has it been to get some of these things done?
I think the hardest part was leading up to the actual agreement. Getting all the states and provinces to agree on one piece of paper and moving that through each and every legislature without changes was miraculous. And once that was done, it had to go to the U.S. Congress. And that was in and of itself what we thought was going to be the largest problem to getting it passed. But it flew through in weeks and signed by the president. So I think the leading up to and the negotiations, I mean, we're talking countless hours, countless meetings, countless stakeholders, countless public participation into this agreement. We had to get it right. And I think that really speaks volumes to the commitment that all the premiers and the governors had towards getting this right. And I think they struck the right balance. And because of that, we have a lasting document that really continues every day to protect our Great Lakes.
Michigan has lost two congressional seats since the compact was formed, and power in this country has been shifting steadily toward the hotter and drier states, particularly in the South and West. How long can the compact stave off efforts to siphon water from the Great Lakes to places with more political clout?
I think that's one of the best aspects of the compact was very forward thinking. They knew that there was a threat. And they really put in place guidelines and structures that would prevent any future threat. Now, having said that, as we know, climate change is unpredictable. Places are getting thirstier and drying up. So there is a greater focus on getting water to arid places. But the compact is lasting. There are still requirements that will not allow places outside of the Great Lakes Basin to divert water. Having said that, now some of the major diversions that we're hearing, actually the Mississippi River. We've seen a couple of proposals to bring water to the Southwest, to raise the levels of water there. Most proposals are looking at how we can do it to the Mississippi River and not the Great Lakes. So I think the Mississippi River, one of the largest watersheds in the U.S., is a potential vector for water diversions that probably needs to have a conversation around how they can keep that water in place.
You mentioned climate change, which certainly is a threat to the Great Lakes themselves. What can the compact do to address that?
Well, the compact built in a science strategy and need to update the compact every 5 years on any new information, including impacts of climate change that the states and provinces can take into consideration as they manage in perpetuity the water resources. So there is a science strategy now that looks at incorporating the new data that we're getting from climate change and impacts to water levels here in the Great Lakes that the states and agencies are looking at incorporating into their permitting programs, into their water conservation programs. And so there is a opportunity to incorporate new science. I mean, what we know from climate change is that it's unpredictable. We know that with intense rains, intense droughts, it's harder for us to actually manage water. It's no longer this roller coaster of high water every 10 years, then low water every 10 years. It's almost happening every other year. Just a couple of years, maybe 5 years ago, we were dredging for water. Fast forward to 2 years ago, we had the highest water levels in the Great Lakes. Now the waters are going down. So that's a natural ebb and flow. Climate change throws a wrinkle in that, how we can predict and manage. And it provides municipalities and local planners heartache when they're trying to figure out how to build infrastructure, how to build piers that can last through high and low waters. Private property owners are facing problems with erosion of their dunes and home fronts on the lakefront. So there is problems with that, but the compact provides a guide to use to help manage, but also provides, you know, some flexibility and to manage as we go, as we learn more about climate and how to manage it.
Anything you want to add, Mark?
The last thing I'll say is that the Great Lakes Compact really serves as an example of how we can work together. When our region works together towards a common goal, we can accomplish great things. And I think our region has a huge asset in our lakes and our freshwater resources. Agencies, state, federal, and local, are all moving in the right directions towards protecting that. And so we have a huge asset, huge benefit of having good collaboration amongst the states and federal agencies and the governors. And let's keep that going. The compact is an example of when you work together, good things can happen and make it a lasting, sustainable effort to protect our Great Lakes.